All right. Well, I've asked Brother Wiggins a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I don't remember now, to get together a series of messages to preach for us this fall. And so he's going to start tonight. Surprise, surprise. And I appreciate him very, very much. What a blessing he is. Singing, of course, preaches just as good. So we'll have a little break, of course, with the missions conference and other things. But he'll have three messages over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I appreciate Brother Wiggins very, very much.
Thanks, sir. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach. Count it as an honor and a privilege. Romans chapter 11. We'll look at verse 25. We're actually going to look at the whole entire chapter, but we're not going to read it all. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now, as you study the life of Paul, Paul says this phrase, brethren, that he said, "For I would not, brethren, that ye be ignorant of this mystery." Or when Paul says that statement, he doesn't want us to be ignorant, the reader or the people that he's talking to be ignorant of certain things. And I'll give you three of those that he talks about in the Scripture. And so tonight we'll preach on the series of things you shouldn't be ignorant of. And we'll start tonight about the Jews and you. You know, I think if you're going to ever understand your Bible, and I know I've struggled with this, and I still struggle with this sometimes, is to know when God's speaking to the Jews and know that when He's speaking to us. And so I think as we get chapter 11, and of course we know that chapters 9 through chapter 11 deals with Israel, as Paul is speaking to the brethren or the Christians there in Rome. Now notice again, if you will, verse 25, he says, "For I would not," what? "Brethren." So we know that he's speaking to the believers whenever he says he doesn't want us to be ignorant of this fact about the Jews and about Israel. My friends, if you watch the news, Israel's in the news. And I thank God that Israel is still standing strong. They've tried to destroy them. The Jews, they've tried destroying them. But can I say thank God for His providence and His protection on His people. So after we pray, we'll talk about things not to be ignorant of. And we'll start tonight with the Jews and you. Father, we thank You. We love You. Thank You for just God giving us grace and mercy in these days, God, that we live. Lord, thank You for our church, for our pastor, for our family here. Lord, we're so grateful and so honored to be a part of this church. And Lord, as we open Your Word tonight, I pray that You would open our hearts and our minds, that we would receive it with gladness. And Lord, we'd not be hearers only, but doers of Your Word. I ask that You help us now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I believe as Paul breaks this into sections, you'll see two things here. You'll see that there's a believing minority, and you'll see that there's a blinded majority. By the way, that's the whole Bible, right? There's a minority of believers that are always through the Bible. God's always. You go back even to the beginning of time, and Noah and his family were the remnant that God had. You go in, and even Paul mentioned Elijah in the days when he went on top of Mount Carmel, and he thought he was all alone, but there were 7,000 men standing with him, and God's always had that remnant. And even when you get to the end of the Old Testament, you get into Malachi, and you go through all those things. We don't like to talk about the tithing part, the giving part, but it talks about that remnant that was left there. And so God's always had His people. And so I thank the Lord as we look into this book. I just want the Lord to speak to us and show us the difference between how He deals with Israel and how He deals with us. By the way, salvation is the same for all. But He does deal with us in different ways, and we'll see that tonight. But I was reading this, and I think this is good, is that if you read chapter 9 and chapter 10 and chapter 11, it deals with three aspects of Israel. It deals with their past, it deals with their present, and it deals with their future. And so when you're reading the book of Romans and you get to chapter 9 and chapter 10, chapter 11, you'll start noticing that God's speaking to the Israelites or to the Jews, and He deals with their past, their present, and their future. And so in chapter 11, we deal with their future. Now, if you will, four things tonight, not to be ignorant of, that He's talking about the Jews and you. Number one, we'll talk about grace. By the way, God deals with the Jews in grace, just like He deals with me and you in grace. You say, how do you know that? Because Paul tells us that. Look at verse 1, if you will. Notice this statement. I say then, have God cast away His people? Now, anytime the Bible says His people and we're dealing with the Jewish people, that's what He's talking about. But notice this. He said, God forbid. You know where else Paul says that? When he's asked the question, if we can sin or not. And what did Paul say? God forbid that we sin and give occasion to that. But notice what he says. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul says, now wait a minute, before you say that we understand tonight that God has taken His people and set them aside. I hope we all know that tonight, that God has taken the Jewish people and He set them aside. And whenever we see Paul come on the scene, Paul was a missionary to predominantly to who? To the Gentiles. That's why we're here tonight. I thank God for the churches He started. I thank God for the people He reached. Why? Because that's my bloodline. And I thank God for that. But remember one thing, that Paul was a Jew. And that he's reminded them that God saved him just like He did the Gentiles. There's a lot of people in the world that are confused about salvation through the Bible. And pastor says it all the time. From Genesis all the way through, it's the same. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And by the way, God dealt with Paul by grace. You say, how did He deal with Paul by grace? Anybody remember the life of Paul? He was not an A student in school. And if God had a chart and said, the best lost man in the world is Paul. No, he was the killer of the Christians. He was the persecutor of the churches. He was the one that breathing out threatenings and all of this. And even there on the day of Stephen's stoning and seeing that. Can I say that whenever God dealt with Paul, He dealt with him through grace? And by the way, today Jews can still get saved. A lot of people say, well, the Jewish people, God's just, and we'll deal with it later, but God's just put them aside, He'll deal with them later. But can I say that it's all about choice. We have a free will, my friend. I'm glad we're not robots. But a Jew gets saved just like me and Brother Clark got saved. A Muslim gets saved the same way me and you get saved. Somebody who is of different nationality, they get saved the same way we do. And Paul's saying, hey, have God forgotten about His people that they can't come to Him? Paul says, no, wait a minute. I'm a great illustration of how God works through grace. And by the way, when God came to His people, the Bible says He came to His own and they did what? They received Him not. And you know what God did? This is a great illustration of how God did the Israelites. Basically, if you could think tonight of a surgeon. A surgeon has a scalpel in his hand and he starts the surgery and finds out that his scalpel is dull. What does he do? He lays it aside and he goes and he picks up another one. Why? Because he wants the one that is effective. And so now did God discard that old scalpel? No. The Jews, He wanted them to be the effective ones. But they wasn't. And so now He's picked up the scalpel of the Gentiles, but He's not neglected His people. Amen? And one day He's going to pick that scalpel back up and sharpen the edge of it again and use it again in a great and mighty way. And we'll see that during the tribulation period. And when the 144,000 Jews come, the 12,000 out of each tribe. And you say, well, where are all the tribes at today? You go to James chapter 1, you'll see that it says, and to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Why are they scattered abroad? Because one day God's going to gather them again and use them again. Man, that's amazing. That's a whole other sermon. But the Jews get saved just like we do, through grace. When you start thinking, don't be ignorant of this thing. And to be ignorant is to be yourself sometimes. Amen, me. But Paul said, look, guys, brethren, don't be ignorant of this thing. God deals with the Jews just like He deals with me and you. Even though He's put their effectiveness aside. He's put there, and we'll see this here in a little bit, about their privileges that they had that God put to the side. Now, the second thing we don't need to be ignorant of is the Gentiles. We see that God deals in grace, but now we see the Gentiles. Notice verse 11, if you will. Notice verse 11. The Bible says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fault, talking about the Jews, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You ever had two kids and show one just a little bit more favoritism than the other? Guess what one does? Usually, they get jealous. You know what you see in the world today is that the Jewish nation is blind. Man, they're still counting on a prayer wall. They're blinded. The Lord of this world, the God of this world, has their minds blinded and blinded in this time. And what God did is that He came and He chose the Gentile people to further His gospel and to keep His gospel going out. When today, one of the biggest enemies to God is the Jewish people. We see that even at the end of the life of Jesus Christ, that the Jewish people were against Him. He was their Messiah. He was their kinsman redeemer. But yet they rejected Him. And God said, okay, here we go. We'll go to the others, the Gentiles. By the way, think about what we were. Think about who we were. We were the ones that had to sit outside the camp and see the glory of God shining upon the Jewish people. Think about who we were. We were the dogs of the day. We were the outcast people of the day. But yet God in His mercy sought us and bought us and paid for us. Man, what a great turn of events that He said that we have been grafted in. I love that. There's two things if you'll notice in verse 17. You'll notice that He talks about the Gentiles. They are considered the wild olive tree. Notice this if you will. By the way, if you study trees or study different things in the Bible, the fig tree is Israel's national privilege. It represents their national privileges. The vine in the Scripture represents their spiritual privileges. And the olive tree represents their religious privileges. It's a great study, but God is saying, hey, your national privileges have been put to the side. But notice this in verse 17. He says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou wert being a wild olive tree, that's us, the Gentiles, weren't grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That's great news, my friend, for the Gentile nation is that God said, I'm taking a wild olive tree and I'm putting it with the natural olive tree. Hallelujah. You've been grafted in. By the way, if you'll ever study horticulturalists or anything like that, you realize they never taken a wild, something wild and grafted into something that is not wild. But usually, that is natural is grafted into that which is wild. Why? To make it natural. But God, in His power and in His omnipotence and in all that God is, He can take the wild and put it into the natural because that's the way God works. You know what? We were the wild tree. We were the outcast. We which sometimes were what? Afar off, have made nigh. How are we nigh? We've been grafted in. Man, hallelujah. Y'all should get a little more excited about this. Amen. By the way, I don't think we have no Jewish people here tonight. I think we're all on the Gentile side. And by the way, God didn't have to do anything for us. But He did, because He loves me. You know, there's a kid song that we sing and we just really, we kick it to the curb because it's a kid song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You ever really thought about what you're saying? Jesus loves me. Even when I was yet in sin, Christ died for me. We love Him because He first loved us. But you know, I think about that. Man, we were the beggars. We were the blinded. We were the wretched ones. But yet God in His mercy and His love reached down off the cross and He reached out from glory and He reached down to the Gentile people. He reached down to the dogs of that age and He picked us up out of the miry clay and put our feet on a solid rock and grafted us in as if we were already there. Woo! I like that. Then you see in verse 21, you see the natural branch. Notice verse 21, it says, "For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee." The natural branch. We were the wild, and the Jews were the natural branches. The Gentiles are now the ones that God sees effective for Him. By the way, the job of the church, the ministry of the church, is to propagate and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To baptize people and to disciple them and to send them out. That's it. And the Jews failed to do that. And so God had... Hey, by the way, God never has a plan B. You say, well, are we plan B? I mean, are we the second best? No. This has always been in God's plan. God knew how it was going to go from the beginning. You know, and when we start to think about that, we think about how God loved us as Gentiles and thank God He came for us. But the third thing I want you to see, there's a guarantee in verses 25 through verses 29. There's a guarantee that we see. Even though the Jews have been set aside, even though they've been laid to kind of in the shadows of things that God is doing now. By the way, it's amazing to watch how God is just preserving Israel. You know, I mean, really and truly, they should have been attacked and flattened out by now. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And you know what? It's going to happen one day. We do know. But can I say that when you look at the nation of Israel and you see how God's put a hedge about them, and it's just amazing how He's protected them. Why is He doing that? Because He's not finished with them yet. He's not finished with them yet. Why is He not finished with them? Because He made a guarantee. He made a covenant, and He cannot break His covenant. And I was reading this today, is that it was talking about that, how do we know that God is not done with Israel or the Jewish people? And it said, because of one thing, because God cannot lie. See, God promised in the Old Testament that He was going to bless the Jewish race. And that He was going to give them a land. And by the way, God is holding on to that. And by the way, He said, "You're the apple of my eye." Amen. By the way, God still got them in view. He knows where they're at. Even though the Jewish people are not just in Israel anymore. They're scattered abroad. Look at James chapter 1, verse 1. He says, where are they at? They're scattered abroad. The 12 tribes of Israel, they're scattered abroad. Why are they scattered abroad? Because one day God's going to gather them back. He made them a guarantee. And we see starting in Revelation chapter 7, you see where God, you remember over in Zechariah where He talks about the Jews shall be saved? They're going to be saved one day. And God's made them a guarantee that, hey, I understand some of them are going to be killed during the tribulation period, but God's going to come back to His people. And those who have faith in Him. Now, when a lot of people say, well, what's God going to do? He's going to appear. Tribulation's done, He's going to appear, come down, and all the Jewish people are going to go, hey, Messiah, that's not how it works. You say, why should we change the way of salvation in the end times? It's going to be the same way. They must believe. They must trust. You know a great illustration of that? Remember when Joshua, when Moses died, and Joshua's fixing to take over the realm? You know what happened to a lot of the Jews in that day? They died in the wilderness because of what? In the book of Hebrews, it tells us exactly why. Because of unbelief. By the way, God's not some horrible God. And I think Pastor said this Sunday with a magnifying glass. And just going, bam, you're dead. Bam, you're dead. You know what He does? He takes His people, the remnant people. When Joshua went across the Jordan River, he went across with the believing remnant. The believing remnant. You say, well, God's a mean God if He let those people die in the wilderness. No, you got to remember that for years, hundreds of years, He's given them chances to believe in Him and to trust in the Messiah to come. Even though all the miracles that they saw, they missed it. And when they got to the Jordan River, God said, this is as far as you'll go. Why? Because you're mean people? Because you didn't walk right? No, God said, because of your unbelief, I cannot allow you to cross in. By the way, it's the same way for heaven. God cannot allow people that are unbelieving to enter into heaven. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. When God comes back and He comes back because He said that He would come back and once again pick up that, and we know that the two witnesses that go out and the 144 Jewish evangelists are going to go out and 12,000 from each tribe of Israel are going to go out and preach the gospel. You think about this. By the way, I was reading this today. Is that Tim LaHaye was talking about during this time. They were just basically saying, How will people get saved? That was the question posed. Well, they're going to get saved because of the witness that's going to be there during that time. But you think about this. I believe this all my heart. There's going to be a lot of Bibles left behind. There's going to be a lot of sermons left behind. There's going to be a lot of preachers left behind. Now, they won't be of use then. But you know what I treasure in my life? My grandfather on my mother's side, I never met him. He died the year before I died. He was a Baptist preacher all of his life. You know what I treasure? I have in my one of my Bibles in my office, I have a sermon that he preached on the book of Matthew. You know, I treasure that. I get it out every now and then. It's, you know, it's real brown now. Starting to, you know, it's 45 years old. That sheet of paper is 45 years old that my grandfather preached in Enon Baptist Church in Walnut Hill, Florida. And I thought, man, I treasure that. And I thought, those things are going to be left behind. There's going to be a witness in those times. And those that have never heard a clear gospel presentation, hey, they're going to hear it. And the Jews that God set aside, He said, I got a guarantee for you. I will pick up that instrument again, and I'm going to use it. Amen. God's not forgotten His people. Amen. You know what amazes me? God's not forgotten about us. You ever lay in the bed at night? I know y'all don't, I do. And you start worrying about, I mean, especially some of you government workers, I do pray for you. Pastor, we may have to start a pantry ministry here at the church for these people. Because really, you don't know what's going to hold tomorrow. And even as I mean, you know, this church could close down tomorrow. Some crazy people could come in here and shut us. We don't know. But I do know this. God's in control. God's not forgotten about me. You know, in the 17, 18 years of ministry I've been in, I've met thousands of people say, well, you know, I'm just a small little person in church. You know, I just kind of, they're faithful. They give. They're helpers. They're prayers. And they think, you know, I just like to sit in the back. I like to pray. I don't want to be out there in the limelight. And you know what I think about? And they say, you know what? I just feel all alone. Can I say that God's not forgotten about you? God's not forgotten about His people. He's not forgotten about you. And He will not forget about you. And then we see lastly tonight the goodness of God. We see the goodness of God and how there's three different sections of people that we'll see here in verses 30 through 32. If you'll look there with me, Romans chapter 11 and verse 30 through verse 32, he deals with three different people and he shows his goodness to these people. And can I remind us again tonight that God is a good God? God is a great God. And don't ever forget that you serve a good God that's good to you and that's good to this church and good to our pastor. And even though the days may look dark and even though you may lay in the bed at night and you may look up at the ceiling and wonder, God, I don't know what's going to happen. But just knowing that God's going to be good, whatever He does. All things work together for the good. Now, it may not look good to you right now. Anybody else like me? When it happened, it didn't look so good. But 5 years down the road, you think, man, that was the best thing that ever happened in my life. Whenever I was in seminary, I thought that was the worst thing that ever happened in my life. I thought, man, what have I got myself into? I look back now, Brother Renz, Brother Kosh, you know this. Man, that was some of the greatest days of my life. I thought, man, hallelujah. When I started with Pastor Crawford, he gave me a broom closet as an office. I was in there, you couldn't keep the door closed because you'd be high on fumes from the cleaning supplies. But man, I had a little it wasn't a desk, it was a countertop. I'd have my Bible, I'd read that, and I'd go clean. And I thought about, what am I doing? And Pastor was pretty tough on me. He liked the toilets cleaned. He'd check on you. I had to get the back of the toilet. Now, if you know, when you got to get the back of the toilet, you don't just reach around there and do this. You got to hug that thing. And there was many times I was on my knees cleaning those toilets thinking, Lord, what have I got myself into? I wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to preach to thousands and see millions saved. Some of y'all get that when you get home. Preach to thousands, see millions saved. Evangelistically speaking. But now I look back on it, Brother Crawford. Some of the best times of my life. Some of the best times of my life. Why? Because maybe then I didn't see the goodness of God. But in each spot of that life, I see how God worked on me. I saw how He worked in my wife. I saw how He worked on my kids. I saw how He worked on our church people. I saw how He worked on our family. Just be faithful. Amen. Don't give up because God's good. The last Sunday of this month, my dad will be at this church. It will be the first time my dad has set foot in a church in many, many years. And can I say that I pray for my dad and his salvation now for about 25 years. And there's times I just want to say, Lord, oh, what are we doing? Because on my time clock, I want to hurry it. Yeah. Yeah. But on God's time clock, He's got to work this out, put that in place, put that in place. And then he's good through it all. Amen. And I was thinking about that whenever we was taking prayer, because I was like, man, I got to praise tonight. My dad's coming to church. He's going to sit in my Sunday school class. He's going to sit in this auditorium. And I get to count him as a visitor. And my brother's coming. Hallelujah. Trying to get him to bring the boys on so I can have a lot of visitors. Hey, I'm excited. Why? Because God's a good God and He's not forgotten about us. He's not forgotten about your prayer requests. He's not forgotten about your child. And I know we've heard this from some of these people in church tonight. Some of your kids you've been praying for just recently. I know two of them that are here in our church. Their kids are getting their lives back straightened out. And can I say that God's always good? We just got to wait on Him. Amen. Notice this, if you will, verse 30. The goodness of God. Notice verse 30. He says this. He says, for as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. The first people He talks about and shows His goodness to is the Gentiles. That's the Gentile people. Verse 30 talks about the Gentiles. Verse 31 talks about the Jews. Verse 32 talks about the world. Let's look at that. Verse 31 says, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. And read verse 32, it says, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. That's the world, my friends, that He might have mercy upon all. God said, I've got mercy upon the Gentile people that didn't believe on me. I got mercy on, and mercy meaning goodness to us. By the way, God not giving us what we deserve. That's goodness. God's good to the Jews, but God said in all those unbelieving people in this world, God's still good and He still has mercy for them. You know, aren't you glad that I'm not God and you're not God tonight? Because if I had some zapping power, I would use it quite often. You're gone. I mean, seriously. You think about people that just annoy you. Look, everybody, all of a sudden a face just jumped in your head. You got the little wand and God says, here, you know what? None of us would be here. Because I'm sure I annoy somebody. But I think about this. God sent His Son to die on the cross for me. And I get saved. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I go about and I fail Him in sin in my life. And God says, I'm right here. Just ask for forgiveness. And I'll forgive you. That's goodness. But here's what truly mercy means. If you study the word mercy through the Bible, it speaks mostly about the lost people. God shows mercy to the lost people. Because He's not giving them what they deserve. What do they deserve? They deserve to die. They deserve hell, right? We all did. But He shows them mercy and grace is more for us saved people. Hallelujah. And those coming in to get saved, that's through grace, right? But I thought about this as I read that verse, is that even those that are all lost, the lost world, you think about those that hate God. I don't hate God. I fail God, but I don't hate God. But there are people in this world, the Bible says, even in the days of Christ, that there was enemies of the cross. That there was enemies of Christ, even in the times of Christ Himself and the times of the apostles. There was people who were enemies. And God said, still love them. Man, I see things on TV sometimes. You watch the news, you see it too. And I think, God, how could you be so merciful to these people? I was just reading this week how the ACLU, whatever they are called, this high school had had a picture of Jesus hanging in there. I'm not a big fan of pictures of Jesus, but it had been hanging in the school for many years. I forgot, like 50-something years. And yet they made them take it out. And they had it on their heritage hallway. But yet they come in and made them take them out. Then they find them several thousand dollars because of hurt for them, because they were hurt. And I thought, God, why don't you just go to their corporate office and just go zap? That would be me. If God wanted to vote on it tonight, I'd raise my hand. But thank God He don't ask me. You know why? Because God sees they can get saved. You know, I think about that. We were just talking about that this week about Pastor. Pastor sees the good in everybody. He really does. I'm telling you what, sometimes to a fault, we always say, Pastor sees the good in everybody. And me and the rest of some of my cohorts in the office there, we call ourselves the realists. Pastor's the optimist, we're the realists. But you know what, I thought about this the other day. That's a Christ-like attitude. Because Christ sees that everybody can come and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm glad when God looked at me whenever I was getting saved in 1994 at Enum Baptist Church, which was where my grandfather preached. This is an amazing story. And on the night of revival, I believe it was on a Tuesday or Thursday night. I can't remember exactly. But I do know that it was during the week. I remember this guy was preaching and I thought there was nobody else in the church but just me and him and God. And all of a sudden, I saw that I was a sinner. And I saw that only Jesus Christ could save me. And I went down. I'm telling you what, I was there because my girlfriend was there. That's the only reason I was at that church. But I'm going to tell you what, when I walked down to that altar, there was nobody else at that church. And I knelt and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm telling you what, whenever I left that church that night, my burdens were lifted, my sins were gone. And ever since then, I think about this. Lord, thank you for being merciful to me and not taking me out. Because each one of us don't deserve the mercy and grace of God. And anybody, you know who Jesus dealt with in 3.5 years of ministry? Predominantly who He dealt with? He dealt with those who dealt with pride. The rich young ruler, pride. Zacchaeus, pride. I mean, you think about all these people, and He dealt with people who thought they were better. But you know what? God saves people like that. And He saves me and you if we come before Him and say, Lord, save us. Just remember tonight, God laid the Jewish people aside. And Paul said, don't be ignorant of the Jewish people and you tonight, the believers. God's got a remnant, and He's going to carry us through, right? Rapture, we're out of here, right? The remnant's gone. The church is gone. God's going to set up a time then to deal with His people. And thank God for that. You know what? Thank God He hasn't forgot about them. He set aside a time and He's guaranteed, hey, I'm coming. I'm going to deal with you in His time. And by the fact, let me say this. God will deal with your prayers, your problems, all the situations you face in life. He's not forgot about them. He'll deal with them in His time. Let's stand tonight. Musicians come. I'll pray then, Pastor, you want to come. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for that mercy and grace, Lord. Thank you for the guarantee. Lord, you said you'd come back. And Lord, for the Jewish people, Lord, we certainly pray for Israel. We pray for those, God, that, Lord, you said was the apple of your eye. And Lord, tonight I just pray if there's one or maybe some here tonight just feel all alone. Lord, maybe they just haven't heard an answer for their prayer. God, they just be faithful and, Lord, just trust you. Lord, that you'll answer it in your time. Lord, help us be faithful. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. We thank you in all things. In Jesus' name.